Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the entrance of your word gives life and light. Father, as we approach your word, we plead the blood of Jesus upon ourselves. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because of the blood that gives us the opportunity and access into the veil. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Bless your word to the hearers in the name of Jesus. Bless your word from my lips into my own heart also, that I may not just be a preacher, that I may be a doer in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I said, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
That means, so let it be. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's an honor and a privilege I never take for granted to stand before God's children, because you are the people. You and I, that Christ died for. And it's not to be taken lightly, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I had a title for this sermon, and I initially titled it Men of Like Passion. And then the Lord told me, he said, it is Arise and Shine. Arise and Shine. Turn to your neighbor. On your right, say, Arise and Shine. I say, and the one on the left, say, Arise and Shine. One more time, Arise and Shine. On the left, Arise and Shine. For the glory of God is risen upon you. The marvelous, want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the marvelous work he's doing in this little assembly. It's marvelous in our eyes. Can somebody say amen? There's a rejuvenation coming. And I can feel the stirring on top of the mulberry tree. A holy unction for people to step out of their comfort zone and live for Jesus. I said, and live for Jesus. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday, and Friday, and every day of the week. I'm going to lay a foundation. And we are going to, this message will meet you and I at our point of need. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to lay a foundation, and you'll see the reason for the foundation I'm going to lay right now. Let's start in the book of Genesis. Chapter 3. Everybody knows the story of Adam and Eve. Am I correct? Did I say Adam and Eve or Adam and Steve? Adam and Eve. It wasn't Adam and Steve in the garden. It was Adam and Eve. Praise ye the Lord. Just a humor in there. For some of us who can catch it. Praise the Lord. Adam and Eve, the first sin they committed. And here we are. When the Lord gave the command in Genesis chapter 3, he said they should do certain things and not do certain things. And the Lord and the enemy came in there. Let's read. Verse 1. It said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, first thing you see here, it's a foundation first. First thing you see here, he separated the man from the woman. Can you see that? If they were together as a unit, it would have been practically impossible for the enemy to get through. This is a foundation. And then the weakest link, the enemy gets in there. This is for us who are believers. And those of us who are not believers, you will gain something out of this also. When the enemy made sure that Eve was by herself, then was able to speak to her. Praise the Lord. And that is the strategy of the devil within the household of faith, in homes, in churches, to cause division. Once it separates, and then it goes to the weakest link. Like we were taught last Sunday, a few Sundays ago, the devil comes at you at your weakest link. Amen? But the Lord gives you the strength, and he goes at you at your strongest to make you stronger. Praise ye the Lord. So we go on. And the thing, I'm just going to try to paraphrase it because of brevity of time. So when you and I, when he had separated both of them, he was able to penetrate his lies into the woman, and here we are, men fail. We fail. Adam and Eve fail. This is in 1 Peter 5:8. He said, your enemy, your adversary, like a roaring lion, he goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Whom he says, resist. I'm from Africa. Everyone know that? And I'm from Africa. If you look at the lion, the way it hunts for its prey, when the deer and all those gazelles, when they're in a pack, it's impossible for the lion to get at them. He watches very lurkily, carefully. That particular deer or antelope that strays away from the pack, he draws a circle around it. Bam! He's got lunch. That is what exactly happens. So you and I as believers, the Bible encourages us not to forsake the assembling of one another. And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Because those that think they are standing, then the enemy comes with wild, weird doctrines, and they think they know more than Christ himself who gave his life for you and I. Can somebody say amen? They come with weird teachings. The Lord never intended for us as human beings to be an island. Can somebody say amen? We all need each other. Praise ye the Lord. So having laid that foundation, let's go a little further. When Adam and Eve had sinned, what did they do? What did they do? They look to themselves. They look to themselves. They find that they were naked. They became self-conscious. And that's exactly what happens to us as Christians. You become self-conscious. You begin to wallow in your situation. And then try to find a solution by yourself. Hey, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. I said, run to Jesus. When you are by yourself, it becomes so easy for the enemy to pummel you, to knock you, give you an upper cut and a lower cut and sideways and up and low and everything, and then you become so depressed, you feel like committing suicide. That's what happens in the world. But thank God for Jesus. That's why Paul encourages us. He said, forsake ye not the assemblies of one another. Because when you are down, I can say, hey, I've been there. I've been there. I can encourage you. I can say, sister, it's going to be all right. You say, I can say, it's going to be all right. Even when the sky looks like brass, when it looks like it's so dry and the desert, there's no rain, say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Pray. This is the foundation. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, we look also one more in nature. God teaches us a lot of stuff. We look at the migrating birds, like the cattle, egrets, the geese and the ducks. When they are migrating, they go in a pack. And then they kind of form like a shape. There's a leader in the front. And science has proved that leader in the front does most of the work. The draft he puts on his wings make it easier for the ones behind. On and on and on like that. And after a while, you know what happens? That leader moves to the back and another one takes over. Can you say praise the Lord? There is wisdom in what you are not an island. Jesus never. So come to church. Stay in church. Go to the cross. When you are down, vain is the help of man, but we all need each other. Can somebody say praise ye the Lord? Praise ye the Lord. Is anybody getting something so far? Hallelujah. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Now having laid that foundation, as you walk in a Christian faith, there will be challenges on the left and on the right, in front and behind. We all as believers, we must have a vision of growing in grace, fruit and power, not just plain church, not just coming to church, growing in God's grace, fruit of the Holy Spirit, and in power. Jeremiah said, and you shall seek me and shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of the times we hide under a facade. I come to him and I say, man, how's it going? How's it going? It's good. It's good. Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful. How's it, mama? Oh, wonderful. A lot of times we hide under a veil, a facade. You may be hurting. You hope you have somebody who can help you. That's what church is about. That's what Christ is about. To lift up the downtrodden. Those with feeble knees, to give strength, to comfort in the hour of need, to wipe away our tears, give us beauty for ashes and the oil of gladness. That's right. To give us beauty for ashes. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In the body of Christ, there's the arm, there's the leg, and everything. And no one can say unto another one, I have no need of you. It's impossible. How many of you would give your eyes for $1 million because you don't need it? $1 million. Anybody? Any takers? Oh, okay, $2 million. Okay, two of you have $1 billion. No, you need it. I need it. I need you. I need you. We all need each other. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. As we move on, as we run this race, you have challenges, problems along the way. Keep focused. Romans, Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Things present, things to come, height, depth, nothing should separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So having laid that foundation, let's look at some, I'm just going to list some characters in the Bible which you may relate to as a person. Whether you are young or you are old, you will get something out of this message. But keep that foundation, because as you press on to your mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, if you have that foundation I just laid now, it will help you along the way. Praise the Lord. First, I'm going to look at a young man, because we have a lot of young kids here. A young boy, Josiah by name. How many of you heard of the name Josiah? For the sake of us, those of us who are new and stuff like that. Josiah, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13 verse 2. The story about Josiah is very interesting because his birth was prophesied hundreds of years before it took place. 1 Kings chapter 13. Verse 2.
Anybody got it? All right. That's the First Kings? Yeah, First Kings chapter 13, verse 2. Israel, you and I know, had gone into sin back and forth, and the Lord would raise kings up or judges up, and then they would serve God for a little while and then go back. Serve God for a little while and then go back. Everybody aware of that? Just for the sake of time and brevity of time. So at this point in time, Israel had gone into sin and idolatry. They were worshipping every kind of god you could imagine. And the Lord was sick and tired of them. And then, in verse 2 it says, "Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee," this was a man, if you could read the whole thing, a man of God came out and said, hey, this, the king, Jeroboam was the king of Israel by then. And he came out, he was in the altar trying to do weird stuff, everything that God said he shouldn't do, he was doing. He was a bad king. Everybody say bad. He was wicked. Everybody say wicked. He was a bad king. And I mean, God was sick and tired of him. Alright. So a man of God came on this scene and said, hey, you altar, listen to this. He said, behold, in verse 2, about halfway down, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bone shall be burnt upon it. This man of God came while Jeroboam was trying to make sacrifice with our different gods. This man of God came on the scene. Say, you king, look, God is sick and tired of you. And a child will be born somewhere down the road and is going to burn up this altar and set the record straight and bring the nation, in so many words, bring the nation back to God. Praise the Lord. We see the fulfillment of that a few hundred years later. I didn't go into calculating, you know, this person died and that, a few hundred years down the road, and we see the fulfillment in 2 Kings, I think that's 22. The child was born. I'll start in chapter 21, verse 24. So, and the people of the land slew all them that conspired against King Amon. King Amon was that king at the king about the time when Josiah was born. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. His father was a wicked guy, a wicked king. His father was Amon or Amon, whatever you call him. Josiah came on the scene as his son. He says, verse 25, now the rest of the acts of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And was buried in the sepulchre in the garden of Uzzah. And Josiah his son reigned in his stead. Chapter 22, verse 8, verse 1. Josiah was how old? 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He was 8 years old. I'm saying to you young boys here, O'Neill, Ju, Biju, how many kids are older than 8 years old here? The Lord foreknew you before you go into your mother's womb. He has great things for you. Listen to me, folks. Whether you are at school, whether you are 3 years old, you are 8 years old, let your light shine. You are ambassadors for Jesus. Benny. Michael. If you read the story of this young man, he began to seek the Lord God of his fathers. And the Lord did a complete revolution in that nation. Let me go down further. Verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that he sent Shaphan, the son of Azalah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord. They had destroyed the house of God and everything was in shambles. So he started a restoration process. to restore people, to restore people back to the faith of their fathers. While they were cleaning up the house and doing all that kind of stuff, verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse 9. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, saying, thy servant have gathered the money which was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the high priest have delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, that's 11, very important. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He said, wow, we have sinned. We have gone away from the foundation of our fathers. Then a whole new ambition, a whole new unction came on him. How old was he? He was about 26 years old then. Verse 13 said, go ye inquire for me, for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for a great wrath. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning it. So Hilkiah, the priest, and Ahikam, and Akko, and Shaphan, and Azaliah went to Huldah, the prophetess. So they went to meet a woman of God. There are women of God. Don't be shortchanged. In the household of faith, there's neither male nor female. Rise up to the occasion. Rise up to the occasion. Whether you are 8 years old, 18 years old, or 16 years old, there's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus in your life. And don't let any devil shortchange you. The lamb is well around you. You may look like, oh, I can't. But in Christ Jesus, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can somebody say amen? Say, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Of our own selves, we can do nothing. But in Him, we can do all things. When they sent, Joshua sent, or Moses sent to go check out Jericho, the bearers of bad news say it's impossible. Joshua and Caleb said, we are more than able. He said, we are more than able to go up and take the country. He said, those people, their lunch is on our hands, man. We're going to finish them. Because what? The promise of the Lord. He knew the promise of the Lord. I knew that the word will sustain itself. So can someone say amen? Praise ye the Lord. And so she went to... See, one very important thing here. This woman recognized, this young man recognized that, look, I don't know this thing, but there is help within the body of Christ. And he knew where to go. He went to the woman of God. Somebody say, woman of God. Woman of God. Somebody say, think it's only men that can be prophets. I beg your pardon, sir. He went to the woman of God. He knew. That he knew that she had the word of God. Am I putting somebody to sleep yet? No. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Say, the word of God gives life. And she sent back word. They consulted her, and look at verse 19. She sent back to him. It's interesting. Look at verse 14. The lady who was a prophetess, the wife of Shalom, she was not just a prophetess who was so egocentric, she was also somebody's wife. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you can be a prophetess and you can be married also. Amen. 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 We're going to go here. So verse 19. So she says, because, verse 19, said, because thine heart was tender. I say, the, he said, she sent word to the king. She said, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest that what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation, a curse has, and a curse, and has rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have had thee, saith the Lord. I say, may the Lord not give you a heart of stone. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
May the Lord not give me a heart of stone. Can you pray for me?
Amen.
I say, come on, say, pray for Peter. Say, may the Lord not give you, Peter, a heart of stone. That you and I may be tender when we hear the word of the Lord. That you tremble and shake at his word. See, sometimes we get to know so much. We get to know so much. We become so cocky. So cocky. We think that our acceptance is because of the knowledge we have. No, sorry. No, sorry. Because there's a price. Because of the price Christ paid for us. What have you that you have not received in the first place? What have you? Nothing. Nothing. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So the guy's heart was tender and humbled himself. We need to be humbled at God's word. I beg you, folks. My dear brother Julius made a statement one day and shook me to the core. He said, Lord, he said, folks, if you will not be tender, in many words, to the written word, you have no privilege to the spoken word. The Lord will not speak to you because you are so hard-hearted. Your heart is of stone. The word cannot penetrate. You hear the word saying, it's not for me, it's for them. Don't mind them. Who told you that? Praise the Lord. You've got to be tender at his word. If you are not tender, ask God for mercy. Give me a tender heart. Lord, give me a tender heart. That when I hear your word, even when everybody else is doing something bad, you don't have to follow the crowd.
Amen.
You don't have to do what the Joneses do.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we see this young man prophesied into being a few hundred years ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 34, Chronicles. It kind of gives a breakdown, basically the same story. That's 28th year of his reign, while he was yet, 2 Chronicles 34 verse 3. Read the whole thing. 28th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after who? After God. After the God of David his father. He says, remove not the ancient landmarks that thy fathers have said. Don't discard it. Say, don't mind those people, Jare. Talk too much about God, about this and about that. Remove not the ancient landmarks. I'm not saying always look backwards. No, sir, that's what I'm talking about. But when you remember what God has done in the past, it makes you tremble at his word. And look at how David, when he was fighting Goliath, he remembered how the Lord gave him victory when the bear came. When the lion came. And he used that knowledge. That confidence that you, uncircumcised Philistine, you're going to be dead meat in my hand. That's exactly what happened. Say, Lord, give me a tender heart. Say, Lord, give me a tender heart. A tender heart for your word. Praise you, Lord. Next, these are people we don't talk about very often. Let's talk about Deborah. Deborah, Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. I'm saying there's something in here for everybody, whether they are 8 years old, 16 years old, 26 years old, a mother, a father. Judges chapter 4. After Joshua left the scene, Lord raised up judges, and one of those judges was a woman. She was basically president, for lack of a better word. She was president. She judged the people. In fact, she was so well connected with God, where she sat down to judge the people, they called it, she sat by the, they called it after her name. So they thought they had the street named after her, if we were in today's context. So maybe it's Deborah Way or whatever it's called. She was well connected. Not just connected on earth, because the Lord placed her there. But she was connected with the King, Jesus. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 4. Let me just, for sake of time, brevity of time, we look at verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She was not just a prophetess. She was a judge. And she was also a wife. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Before I move on, I want you to turn around to the young ones beside you. Hey, young folks, could you stand up for a second? Those of you 8, 9, 10, could you stand up for a second? Please, could you, real quick, come on, stand up. David, come on, stand up. Please stand up for a second, the young ones. Are you a young man too? Please, turn to them. Say, arise and shine.
Arise.
Say, arise and shine.
Arise.
Arise and shine.
Arise.
In your school, arise. Please sit down. Thank you. So we look at Deborah. She was a judge, and like I said, look at verse, Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Say, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel, in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Any great? Her husband, her spouse, was not a clog in her high calling in Christ Jesus. If you are married, don't be a clog. In your spouse's high calling. Encourage them along the way. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The story goes forth. I'll paraphrase it again on account of time. Israel had situations, and then she called Barak, was like the general. She called him, say, come here, boy. Barak, verse 8. She told him, say, look, God has given your enemies into your hand. I want you to do this, 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 and that. Look at verse 8. This man was a wimp. And Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. Mercy me. Verse 9. This woman was so confident of the word she had from God. This Barak, who was the captain of the army, he was like this, like that. He said, I'm not going to go except you go with me. This man, the captain, was waiting for a woman, to go to battle. So Deborah said, no problem, I'll go with you. I know the God I serve. He's spoken to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you gotta know the word of God. When he speaks to you, he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. The voice of a hireling they do not know. Look, if there are 100 kids in this auditorium, if there are 1,000 kids, if I call my son O'Neill, he knows my voice. He knows my voice. And he will say, yes, Dad, because he's been tuned to the frequency. You and I need to be tuned to God's frequency and to know when he's calling you. Yes, you may need training along the way. Like Samuel. Eli was there. Said, well, oh yeah, he's called. The third time, oh yeah. When he heard that voice, I know. He said, here am I, Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So anyway, verse 9. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. She went to where the Lord said the battle will be won. So she left the army, said, no problem. I got God on my side. I got the victory, huh? I got the victory. I'm a woman, not just a woman, I'm a woman of God. I say, behind me on the left, I got mercy. On the right hand, there is goodness. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. She was not just a woman, she was a woman of God. Are there any women out there? Deep calling on you, deep. Who will step up to the plate and say, here am I, send me, Lord. We've had it in this generation. It's a holy unction, a call to duty, a call to service. Praise God. So what happened? According to the word of the woman of God, it took place exactly as the battle went haywire and Sisera was they decimated the enemy. He said about Sisera, and the Lord has comforted Sisera and his chariots and all his hosts. This guy had chariots. And the Lord finished everything. And the battle was won. But the king, Sisera, ran away. You know, in those days, until you have killed the king, you haven't won the battle yet. That's why when they were fighting that battle and between Philistines and all that stuff, the guy said, look, just kill me, and then you got a victory. Don't let mess up with anybody else. When David too was in battle, when these guys came out and wanted to kill him, say, hey, let the light of Israel be killed. He said, look, man, don't, we are what? You, by yourself, when Absalom was chasing, say, one, you are what 10,000 of us. So please, just don't go to battle with us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So just according to the word from Barak, verse 17, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber. It's interesting each time these women of faith are mentioned. Most of the time they say they were married to Susu, the wife of Susu. Isn't that interesting? So they were, the husband was at loggerhead with the wife saying, look, I mean, you're serving God too much. Look at this, there's too much. What's wrong with you? Ah, God, all this time. You pray, all this time. Ah, they are not me. They were not at loggerheads concerning the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. The army that the Lord will raise. Joel's army, Joel chapter 2. He said they will not break their ranks. They'll do their work and there will be no butting of heads. Praise God. Anyway, Jael was a lady. Sisera the king ran and said, I've escaped. He ran to this woman's tent. He asked for water. This woman was so kind. Jael was her name. Read the whole chapter. I'm paraphrasing it. Not only did she give him water, she didn't went along, she went an extra step. She gave him milk to drink. She gave him milk. Say, yeah, king, no problem. Come and sleep. She covered him up and gave him milk to drink. When the man was she took a nail, you enemy of the cross. She nailed him on the head and he was dead. So what happened? According to the word of the Lord, from the woman of God, the woman took the glory and not Barak. Praise ye the Lord. The word of the Lord comes to women also. Can somebody say amen? Don't be shortchanged to believe. That's only men. No sign, lady. Praise God. Now hear the song. This is, I love the song of Deborah. Chapter 5. Then Deborah, verse 1, And Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, sang a song. Say, praise the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people were willing, when the people willingly offered themselves. Verse 7. Now, Deborah, I love this song. Verse 7. Read the whole thing, it's interesting. So the inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. The people were fighting until I. She knew her position. She knew her right in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Can the heavens cry aloud concerning you, ladies? Concerning you, men? That in your office, at your place of work, when you step on the scene, they know that a woman of God has come on the scene. Or are you just like the Joneses? Trying to be like everybody else? Oh! Arise, said the Lord. Arise! And let your light shine. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So the inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That arose a mother in Israel. You know, there's something unique when you have a true mother of God, a woman of God. She's like a hen. She protects. She unifies her family like a brood. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is somebody getting anything out of this? Or shall I just shut up? Praise ye the Lord. Oh man, my time is up. I'm not even done yet. We'll try to go through this real quick. I want to say, the women here, say arise and shine. Say I will arise and shine. Say I will arise and shine. Say it from your heart, man. I will arise and shine. Amen. Amen. So let it be. You are snared by the words of your mouth. Because you said you will arise and shine. There will be no darkness in you. And the enemy cannot say, aha, aha, concerning you. In the name of Jesus. Paul. He was formerly Saul. All of us know his story. Am I correct? For brevity of time. Look at Acts chapter 9 and Acts 22, verse 1 through 10. Just write it down if you have a pen. Acts chapter 9. This guy was, in Acts chapter 9, look at verse 58. If somebody has the Bible with him, they can read it for me if you have the Bible. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Acts 7, 58. Someone's got it opened. I'm just trying to save some time here. Somebody help me. Somebody help me.
So Jacob went down into Egypt and died.
No, chapter 7, verse 58. Acts chapter 7, verse 58.
And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes. And the young man's feet, whose hair was soft.
And they laid what?
And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul.
His name was Saul. That was Saul. His name was Saul. Until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Everybody knows that story? When Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. When you meet Jesus, you are never the same. I don't care whether you believe in Mohammedanism, you believe in Hare Krishna, whatever you believe in, whether you're a churchgoer, a Baptist, a Methodist, an idol worshiper, when you meet Jesus, you are never the same. And that's exactly what happened. If you don't know this Jesus, taste and see. He will turn your life around. Praise the Lord. For brevity of time, he tells the story of his conversion in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. About 1 through 10. The light shone. He said, verse 7, and I fell to the ground, and had a voice said unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. So I don't care where you are today, whether you are an agnostic, an atheist, an idol worshiper. Jesus can turn your life around. When he was turned around, he became Paul. And most of the old New Testament was written by this man. You cannot write off anybody. You cannot judge a book by its cover. By part of what he is today. When the Lord touches a man, he makes a new creature out of him. He said, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away and all things become new. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when you become new, the enemy comes at you and begins to remind you of what you used to be. Say, of what you used to do. Tell him, the old me no longer lives here. Praise ye the Lord. The old me no longer lives here. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What I used to do, I could do them no more. What I used to be, I can't do that no more. But it will come from time to time. The critics of the cross. Yeah, I saw you. They'll be doing like a quack. Try to nail you to the cross a second time. He said, rejoice not against me, my enemy. When I fall, Christ will pick me up. Even if I would be in darkness, Christ will be my light. Arise! Arise! Jesus makes the difference. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about David? David? 1 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. Everybody say, David! A man after God's own heart. Oh my goodness. He grew one time. Read that in 1 Samuel 11, 12. But he came to the cross. He didn't run away. He didn't run away. Psalm 51. He said, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So that if you have to judge, nobody will stand. He said, create in me a new heart. So that even the bond that has broken may rejoice. Can someone say praise the Lord? Oh, come on, say praise the Lord, somebody. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. So no matter what you have been, whether you're a murderer, an adulterer, like David was, there is room at the cross. I said there is room at the cross for you. The Lord only commands, repent, repent, repent. Praise ye the Lord. Say, go and sin no more. Praise the Lord. Pastor, how many more minutes do you give me here? Praise the Lord. Let's look at Daniel. How many of us know the story of Daniel? Nobody knows the story of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. Now you remember. Even the kids remember that also. When you watch little cartoon characters. Who was Daniel? Israel had sinned again. And they had been taken into captivity. Daniel was one of the folks that Nebuchadnezzar took. Read Daniel chapter 1. Chapter 2 is a very short book. Read the whole thing. And then, there's something about Daniel. We don't know whether this guy, we can't say categorically whether this guy was a eunuch. But if he was, how many people know what a eunuch is? This man, so because sometimes the term eunuch is used in two ways, both to mean those who take care of the harem and also an official in the king's palace who was in certain high capacity. Because when we look at Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 1. They have been taken captivity into Babylon. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish. First, you want to understand that in the book of Leviticus, a eunuch, book of Leviticus chapter 21 verse 30 and Deuteronomy 23 verse 1, you can write it down if you want to check those scriptures up. When you're a eunuch, you cannot serve as a priest. You should be castrated or whatever, hunchback or what have you, listed there. So here it is, maybe Daniel was a eunuch, maybe he wasn't, because the way, but if he was a eunuch, can you imagine that? He still served God. And if he wasn't, he still served God. What does this mean? When a man, in Matthew chapter 19, verse, I think 22. Matthew 19 verse 12. Let me read. Jesus said, this is Jesus, God, speaking. Say, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, naturally. And there are some eunuchs which are made of men. And there are eunuchs which have made themselves eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So use that word eunuch for those who just say, I ain't going to get married, I'm going to serve the Lord. Sometimes that's what some of the things the Roman Catholics kind of take over board and, you know, Reverend Father, this and that, that kind of stuff. I want you to imagine if a man, which some of them were Christians, became eunuch by men. They're like dry. They have no way. Of having children reproducing in their, so they are like a dry tree. Can you imagine? As Nebuchadnezzar took some of these people in chains, wrapped around their necks, and going, walking from Israel all the way to current day Iran, Iraq area, to Babylon. We chained some of them, had big, buckles on their necks so that they couldn't run away and stop like slaves. God is saying to somebody here, if you feel like a dry bone, you feel the weight of the world upon your shoulder, you feel like a slave, you're walking in out, day in, day out, there's a promise for you in the word of God. In Ezekiel 37, he says, shall these dry bones rise again? Shall these dry bones live? Shall they live? You may feel dry. You study for this exam and over, it looks like, my goodness, what's going on here? Prophesy to it. I say prophesy to it. The word is nigh thy mouth. Speak
and shall come to pass. By the command of the holy watchers and their latters. He said, though it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry long. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Imagine Daniel. And his, the group of them were chained as slaves. And they still had to serve. And they were not ashamed of the gospel. When Nebuchadnezzar said, look, curse your, is this your God, eh? I'm telling you, if I, he said, well, even if you did not save us, it's okay. Reminds me of a song as some of these slaves in Psalm 37. Verse 1, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. They remembered the God of their fathers, and the enemy was mocking them. They sing unto us the song of Zion. They say, well, how can we sing the love song in a strange land? Maybe you are down too. And looks like, whoa, where do I go from here? You've done everything possible by human standards. The Lord said, lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Say, promotion comes not from the north, from the south, from the east, or from the west, but it comes from him. Can someone say amen? Maybe you have children. Looks like they are slaves now. Incarcerated. You prayed and you cried. Say, Lord, have mercy upon me. May you have a spouse. You don't even know where it's at. You have children. You don't even know where they're at. Cry unto you, Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Some of these, maybe you are an immigrant also. Illegal immigrant. Because I was illegal at a point in time. I was. I will make you laugh. In those days, I remember a brother. When a policeman pulled behind him, he was petrified. Because he had no papers. No papers. But by the grace and the mercy of the Lord, we are what we are today. Can somebody say amen? And if you're in that situation, the Lord who has done it for this brother, for that sister, is more than able to perfect you too. In Jesus' name. And maybe you're an immigrant also, because look, you gotta be a light wherever you are. The Lord has proposed it. That wherever you are, you need to be his ambassador. You have to be his ambassador wherever, in whatever condition. That was exactly what Daniel was. That was exactly what Esther was. Praise ye the Lord. And several men of God like that. They didn't say because they were eunuchs. Because men did this to them and men did that to them. Therefore they went to hide their light under the bushel. He said, hey, you're a city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Wherefore let your light shine. Say, wherefore let your light shine. That men may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Maybe you are rich also. Yeah. If you are rich, that's fine too. There is room at the cross for the rich. For the rich, for the very rich. There was a man like that. Matthew 27 verse 56. He was well connected also. To the extent that when God gave up the ghost, he was so connected, he went to meet the king or the governor. And he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, 56. Oh, I'm sorry, 57. Matthew 27, 57. When evening was come, there came a rich man out of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was what? Jesus' disciple. So you may be rich, a millionaire, you can serve God. Praise the Lord. He went to Pilate. He was well connected. He had a connection. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus.
I mean, he just walked up there, man. Maybe he was one of the contributors to his campaign. He just walked up there. You know what? At certain levels, you go knock on the White House. They let you in because they know who you are. Amen. Does Jesus know you? Maybe a teenager also. Acts 21. It says Philip had daughters who prophesied. They were probably 15, 16, 18 years old. Matthew 21 verse 8 through 9. You can read that by yourself. How about the old men? The old men. Luke chapter 2. This man had waited so long. Papa Simon was his name. Waited so long. The Lord had told him that before he died, he would see the Messiah. The Lord had told him before he died, he would see the Messiah. Matthew chapter 2, verse 25. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 2. I'm rounding up, please. Luke chapter 2. I want to touch Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Imagine this. This was in the Old Testament. They are talking Holy Ghost. Jesus, the same, yesterday, today, forevermore. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. When the Hebrew kids were in the lions then, he said he saw a fourth man, like on the Son of Man. Jesus was not yet born there. But he knew that that was the Son of God. And that was Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. Where am I? I lost my space. Verse 25. Say, and verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought him charges to do after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and said, come and give me that baby. I've waited this long to see the Messiah. He knew that that was God. I said he knew that that was God. That was the anointed one. He heard him. He said, wow. Verse 9. Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation. Woo! He knew the promise had come. Read the whole thing. It gets me wound up. He made some prophecies. And then down the road too, there's another lady there. Verse 36. I said, and there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. I'll read in verse 36. Of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84. And 4 years old. That's 84. She was 84 years old. And she was still serving the king. She became a widow. Only 7 years into her marriage. And the Bible says, she was in the temple night and day. In prayer and fasting. She didn't say because she became a widow. She became a tackler. Busybody men's affairs. The Bible says, she went in and out of the temple. With prayer and fasting. How many widows today? After living with a man for 7 years. So she was a widow for 77 years. Mercy me. She had the right to go and get married by the Lord. But she, for whatever reason, the Lord gave her the grace. Can somebody say amen? I was going to go into the story of Ruth. But for brevity of time, I cut it short. In conclusion, wherever you are, let us say, I will arise and shine. Say, I will arise and shine. Oh, come on, minute. I will arise and shine. I will arise and shine. oh, he, I can't hear, he said from right bottom here. I will arise and shine.
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 Amen. Amen. As we close, I want you to stand up. Could you put, let's just sing a short hymn there. Could you put on that hymn for me, please? If you have been blessed, I want to say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where's our money? Could you get on drum, please? It's an old time song. And as we sing this song, peradventure, you have not been to the cross, or you don't know what the cross is about. And peradventure, you have been to the cross. It's for you. The cross is for all. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments the white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? He's, hold on, he's trying to catch up. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest His moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul and in blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Let's just sing the chorus. In the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you're here today, if you're here today and you are not washed in the blood of the Lamb, if Christ was to show up today and call your name and you are not sure, you are not exactly sure, you don't know whether or not you'll make it, this is the opportunity. Please, don't leave this place because you may not have another opportunity like this. If you are that person, there's a chance to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That your sin be clean. Maybe you are backsliding. Maybe you're a churchgoer that just coming to church every Sunday. It really doesn't make sense to you. Come to the cross. And taste that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've shared with us what you laid in my heart. I believe that somebody has been blessed in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, peradventure, there's somebody here who has no idea what we're talking about. Let them not be ashamed to say, Lord, help me. If you are that person, you are not exactly sure. I want to see your hands up. The Bible says, be ashamed of me before men. I will be ashamed of you before my Father who is in heaven. If you are not sure, the Lord is knocking the doors of your heart. He said, if you let me in, I will come in and dwell with you. If you are backsliding, or you are just playing church, be reconciled to God. That's what the word says. Praise.